L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Chase and Big Joe, Monday edition, hour number 3. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier. Behind the glass, let's say hello to John McClain down in Houston, who joins us now. John, how you doing?
I couldn't be better, guys. Thank you.
What is your take on Robert Saleh decided that the draft picks would be at rookie camp, but they wouldn't really be on the practice field? He was more concerned with their conditioning, that they had been in combine condition shape and not football condition shape, so they weren't really doing a whole lot on the practice field. So what's kind of your take on that?
Rookie mini camps and most of the offseason programs is just BS. It's about mental stuff, making sure players are in shape, making sure what they're taught in the classroom they carry over to the field. And you can see that in walkthroughs. And of course, you want your guys in best shape for when they come for the OTAs at the end of May. So I think that's smart because what good does it do to have a bunch of guys running around out there? The key is they've got to have the mental part down.
Well, and you also had like 58 guys out for tryouts too, which is just crazy.
That reminds me of the movie Invincible, which I had a cameo in which Dick Vermeil opened it up to anybody for tryouts because I've never seen anybody have that many players come in, those numbers at a time like this. And when I saw that, I thought, could that be a misprint?
It wasn't. It definitely wasn't, but we'll see. I mean, can you count in all your years of covering the NFL, or whether it's the Oilers, Titans, or the Texans, or the league as a whole, you could probably count on one hand the number of, you know, tryout undrafted guys that end up doing anything.
Yeah, I don't even know if I could count them on one hand. I've seen the tryout guys get invited back, get signed for training camp. But that, even that is rare because coaches have a good idea. They know what they want, but usually a guy like that has done something in college that you like. You may not think he's a very good athlete or he has a lot of potential, but boy, he did this pretty well. So let's bring him in and just check him out while we have a chance to see him on the field.
John, how did it go with, like, the rookies, like, say, under Jerry Glanville? Did he integrate the rookies 1 week by themselves and with the vets, or were just all thrown in together?
Gosh, Joe, the things were so different back then from 86 through 89. Rules that they have in place now compared to then are unbelievable. Because Glanville, his first deal, they had a lot of talent. They went to the playoffs in 87, 88, and 89 while he was there, and they got beat by Pittsburgh on a 50-yard field goal by Gary Anderson in overtime. And Glanville, Bud didn't fire him. He let his contract expire, and Jerry went to Atlanta. And so Bud wanted to hire Jack Pardee, who had a great coaching career with the Houston Gamblers, the USFL, and the University of Houston. And he thought him and his offense would be better suited to all the talent they had stockpiled on offense, like quarterback Warren Moon and offensive lineman Bruce Matthews and Mike Munchak, all of whom are in the Hall of Fame. Where it really got to be pretty unbelievable was when Buddy Ryan came in. And Buddy was there one season in 93, and his players got fights in the off-season program, fist fights, because they were – I remember one time being out there and Mike Munchak's walking off. Mike's got blood coming down his face because they were throwing punches, and all the rookies were trying to impress the coaches. The late nose tackle, Glenn Montgomery, who died of ALS from the University of Houston, Glenn thought you had to fight everybody to impress him. So he thinks, you know, if I'm going to fight him, I'm starting with Munchak and Matthews. Well, they said, that's the opposite of what you want to do. But not only did he make the team, he started on some great defenses. And Lamar Lathan, the first overall pick in 90, when Buddy Ryan came in, he knew Lamar, an outside linebacker, had a lot of talent. But he didn't think he was tough enough, so he made him like fourth team at outside linebacker. He didn't even have three, so he took Joe Bowden from the middle and made him the third, put Lamar behind him. And Lamar and Joe used to throw down standing in line to see who was going to get the next reps. But Buddy thought that toughened him up, and Lamar got the start. And then he played great, and then he signed a huge contract with the Carolina Panthers. But back then, can you imagine going to practice in an off-season program and seeing guys getting fights in fist fights, not just wearing shoulder pads and that's it, with their helmets off? The times were a whole lot different back then.
I kind of miss those days, John, for just a little bit. Let me ask you this. Moving on to a rookie, like, you know, when they brought McNair in 95, did you know, and I know Floyd's made it clear, like, he was going to sit for a year or two, but, I mean, that's just kind of a trend, moving along the line of like, all right, rookies, you got to do this and do that. Now it's like, you're not going to play this year at all unless absolutely needed. And that approach, John, I know it's been 30 years ago now, but I'm not sure that'll ever happen again. That's why I was just with these rookies. They got to come in, and now, because it's so – there are people's jobs on the line. You got to play now. You got to contribute now. It's just far different, like you were talking about.
Jerry, the head coach – oh, gosh. I was thinking about the coordinators and everything else. Steve, because Steve came from the SWAC, and he was great, and he had all the ability, great arm. He could run. He was tough. But they thought, he's coming to play in the NFL, and he's going to take time to develop. And they signed him to a 7-year contract. Ooh. That would be illegal today. So there was no need to rush him. They hired Jerry Rome as the offensive coordinator, and they wanted a veteran quarterback. And Jerry wanted a quarterback he had in Arizona, Chris Chandler, Crystalline, because Chris got hurt all the time. And it freaked out the training staff, because he'd come off the field and he would use the medical term. Hey, he wouldn't say, I need aspirin. He would give some long name. I need a couple of this, a couple of that. And Brad Brown, the trainer, Don Mosley, they'd have to be going, this guy sounds like a doctor. So he came in, and Chris was a very unpopular quarterback, had a great arm. He was smart as could be, they knew Steve was special when they first started watching him on the field. And in his rookie year of 1995, I did a story because Steve got to play a little bit and he showed enormous potential. And they knew they weren't going anywhere with Chandler. The best they could do would be 8-8. So I had a bunch of players kept coming up to me saying you ought to write a story saying that McNair needs to be the starter over Chandler. And so I said, okay, if you guys let me quote you, I'll be happy to do it. Well, they wanted to be quoted anonymously. And so I quoted them that they want to see the rookie over the veteran, Chris Chandler. And it was a huge story. And the, Chandler said, well, all the quotes are anonymous. He doesn't like me. He could be making that up. And at the time, Chandler and I did a TV show once a week here. Jeff Fisher did it, too, when he was a defensive coordinator and then a head coach at the Fox affiliate here. And Chris would come in every week, and he wouldn't speak to me, even though we're sitting in chairs next to each other, getting our makeup and hair done, which I needed a lot more than he did. And so I wrote that story, and he said, well, I don't believe it. I don't think guys would say that. And the center, Mark Stepnoski, who had won Super Bowls with the Cowboys, then wanted to get paid. I always respected him for this. He came out and told the media the next day, I was one of the people quoted. and I believe it, and this. And then we go to Chandler. Okay, your center says you shouldn't be the starter. It should be the rookie. And Chandler's quote says, well, I guess you don't have to like somebody. I guess you can still put your hands between a guy's legs and take a snap, and they don't want you to play, something like that. And it was shortly after that Steve got to play more. And then by his second year, Chandler was still the starter, but it was clear in the last year here when Eddie George was the rookie, this team was going a long way with that twosome. And so then, of course, they got up there to Nashville, and you guys got the best out of Steve McNair. But there are, you know, Patrick Mahomes played one game. I don't expect Fernando Mendoza. They've got a good plan with Kirk Cousins. When rookies have to start, it's pressure from the owners. The owners listen to the fans and the media. You should never listen to the fans when making decisions. The old quote, are you destined to be sitting with them? And so they have a plan that Mark Davis, the owner, has bought into, and he's staying out of it. So I feel confident, unless Cousins gets hurt, that Mendoza's going to be like he's not going to sit 3 years like Aaron Rodgers or Tony Romo, but I think he could do like Patrick Mahomes and maybe start one game, the last one of his rookie season, because there's really no reason to put him out there since the team's still not going to be very good.
What were your conversations like with Jeff Fisher or Floyd Reese with all this with Chris Chandler?
Oh, I think they probably knew. You know, I always gave them heads up if I was writing something negative, and then I told them I'd have to be asking them about it, see if they wanted to comment. They were great to deal with. I had so much fun covering the Oilers with Fisher and Floyd, because they were assistant coaches. Floyd was a hoot, and things were different back then. I could talk to him on the record, off the record. Here, if you try to contact a player away from football, they give you a letter telling you could have your press pass revoked. That's the way it is most places around the league. They put you today down in the corner of the end zone where you can't see squat. Bill O'Brien's first year in 14 here, we had new rules. After Gary Kubiak, we could go basically anywhere, and we could watch practice and talk to assistant coaches. O'Brien comes in, sticks us down in a corner where we're roped off. And I asked him, I said, what kind of coach would you be if you had to coach standing in the corner at every practice? He said, I'd be terrible. Why? I said, well, why do you think we can do our job standing down there? And I did this in a one-on-one conversation with him. He said, what do you mean? I said, you guys stuck down there. We can't see squat. He said, well, what do you want? I said, we would like to have it like it's always been down here. Well, I'm not going to let you come on and stand on the sideline in the middle of the players. I said, well, let us go on the other sideline. And he said he just never thought about it. Now the media's back down in the corner, but it's a whole new regime. But times have changed on a lot of that. But with Jeff and Floyd, they were great. You could come up and talk to them during practice, assuming, you know, it was a timeout or something like that. Nick Caserio, he'd rather have a colonoscopy than come over and talk to the media during training camp on the sideline. And while the McNairs, Cal and Hannah, come over, talk to everybody in the media every day, just BSing. And Nick, he's all football. I can't argue with the job he's done here, except in his offensive line, but it's not nearly as much fun. And when I tell younger people what it used to be like with Jeff Fisher and Floyd Reese, they don't believe me.
We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe on 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday, continuing with John McClain down there in Houston. John, what is your opinion on Will Levis and why he's still with the Titans at this point? Because every time we mention him, it's like a lightning rod because people want to talk about him when right now he's third on the depth chart.
Well, if he's third on the depth chart, then they're not going to keep a former second-round pick third. Maybe they're hoping that he'll get to play a little in preseason, play well, and then they get a draft choice for him. But, you know, he's not – he's got what, 1 year left? Got 1 year left on his contract?
That sounds right. Yes.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he's on the roster this season, especially with the new coaches. I've told you guys since I started coming on with you, I can't wait till they get rid of him to see if Liam Cohen takes it.
Right.
And they're reunited because the best he ever played was from Cohen. By the way, y'all bring up the old days, and I start thinking all these incredible stories. I was with
Jeff Fisher yesterday, by the way. So hearing stories of the old days is definitely fun.
Well, Jeff's one of my all time favorite people in the NFL. Floyd was too, and I was thinking, what would it be like today? If Steve Watterson was the all-time prankster, but what would it be like today if the media was all out at practice, watching practice, and they're going through their drills, and everybody's hot, and they're sweaty, and all of a sudden Robert Saleh stops practice, and the strength and rehab guy comes out on a golf cart with a stripper and a guy with a boombox, and they stop the golf cart in the middle of the field, and all the players and coaches drop down to one knee, and the guy with the boombox turns it up full blast, and the stripper gets out, and they sit a assistant coach, pick any of them, on the back of the golf cart, and they put a party hat on his head, and she starts stripping because it's his birthday. And that was what they did when Chris Palmer, who went on to be the head coach of the Browns and longtime receivers coach and sit here, including it was his birthday. And things like she didn't strip all the way. I think she went down. Of course, I couldn't look. But and we wrote about it, and they didn't care. And can you imagine that going on up there now?
No.
And
I'd like to see it.
They used to do Bum Phillips would stop practice and bring out an ice cream truck or pizzas. He'd get all of his players together at night at training camp, back when training camp was 2 months. And Willie Nelson and Mo Bandy would come in with their guitars, and they'd have pizza night and beer. And it was all for bonding. Things like that were for bonding. Oilers used to do a lot of that. And that's one of the reasons they won most of the time when they had the talent. And it was so much fun because they didn't. Today, the media is the enemy. Back then, we weren't the enemy, and we were treated a whole lot different because they trusted us. But it was the stories, they were flying by. Like Steve Watterson used to, and it happened up there, so I'm sure you guys know it. On your birthday, you get a pie in the face. And if you could make it through the end of the day without getting pied by Watterson on your birthday, coaches would go to so much trouble to avoid Steve. And Mike Munchak one time went to dinner with his wife, Marcy, and where he was, he had to face the door to see if Steve Watterson was coming in. And when they got on that night, they're going in their back door, and Munchak said to Marcy, "Why? I can't believe I got through the day." And Watterson was buried in some bushes. No telling how long he was in those bushes. He comes flying out with half of the pie left and gets Munchak right then. And people, those guys loved each other. Bum Phillips always said, you'll fight for your teammates. Subconsciously, you'll fight for your family just a little more. And that's what bonding is for, to help people get close together. It's not as easy today because of free agency as it was then. But those teams, when they moved up there and then when they were here, they did so many things for bonding. And the only thing I didn't like Fisher did, he didn't like players being hazed. They got Munchak and Matthews, because they were Munchak and Matthews, they would take the poor rookies and they would be barbers, and they would just abuse their heads, their hair. And one guy from California quit in training camp. He wasn't going to let him do anything to his hair, and so he quit football. I don't know if they cut him or what happened to him, went back home to California, because, my God, nobody was touching his hair, even if it was two future Hall of Fame offensive lineman.
I think that happened here too, John. It was, I think it was Bakhtari, the guy. His it was the brother, well,
that,
of the guy
I
that played.
I think that's what happened up. That's when it happened up there.
Yeah, his brother was a longtime lineman for the Packers, and he was like, "You're not cutting my hair," so he just quit. He just left the team and was gone. So that was, but I understand. I mean, I get it. I mean, they're trying to win games now and do all that stuff. Let me ask you this question. This team hasn't won a Super Bowl in 30 years, but they're still so powerful, John. I mean,
no, this team has never won a Super Bowl.
Well, no, this team I'm talking about, the power
this franchise.
Of the power of the Dallas Cowboys is where I'm headed to. And I'm looking at the top rookie jersey sales, and one and two are the Cowboys. And it just goes to show you, John, how powerful that brand is and how powerful that brand will always be. And it's just amazing to me that the rookie jerseys, they're one and two right now. Caleb Downs and the guy from Malachi Lawrence out of UCF. It just shows you how this Cowboy brand is never going to go away.
It's never going to go away. It doesn't matter who owns it, who the coach is, or what. It's my friends down here. They love Tom Landry and Tex Ram, don't like Jerry Jones, don't like the fact they haven't won in so long. They say, my loyalty is to the star.
It's just, I mean, it's just amazing. And it's just how they keep doing this and everything. And just, I mean, good for Jerry. I mean, that's he's got his team out there and they're making a lot of money. So good for him.
One time, Mike McClure, there's a guy here, his name was Bill Lamza, nicknamed Cowboy. Cowboy Bill Lamza, president of the Dallas Cowboys fan club. Well, he lived here, and he used to call the talk shows and just abuse the Oilers and praise the Cowboys. People quit listening when he called. And one time, because he was always on the sideline, Cowboys Tex Ram loved him, had him in suites and everything else, but he lived here. And I got to know Bill really well. And one time at training camp in San Antonio, the Cowboys and the Oilers were playing, and Bill was on the Cowboys' sideline. The Cowboys kicked him off. And McClure calls down there and tells security, get that guy in a Cowboy hat and take him over to our sideline. And afterward, McClure tried to hire him to be, you know, president of the Houston Oilers fan club. And that's when Bill told him, he said, Mike, he said, I don't care if they kick me off the sideline. I don't care what they do. My loyalty is to the star. And and they've never had anybody like that, never had anybody here like that, and never had anybody there. They'll have, you'd have even teams that win a lot of Super Bowls, like, say, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, they don't have, they're not the Cowboys. And what started the Cowboys was Roger Staubach. Everybody loved and respected Roger Staubach, and when they won those Super Bowls early on, then they became America's team. And the brand is all powerful.
Indeed, it is, John. I'm going to text you a Steve Watterson story that I can't tell on the air, but you'll appreciate it.
Well, I can't wait. My all-time favorite people. Those guys were so much fun to cover, to know, to be friends with when they were here, and then when they came up there. And that's one reason I was happy for them when they moved into those new offices after being treated like dogs out at the doctor's offices. I was there when they were opening their boxes and their offices, Fisher, Greg Williams. They were all like kids opening presents on Christmas morning because of the way they'd been treated at the end here and when they got up there.
Yep.
Send it to me.
I will. I will. We'll talk to you next week, John. Thank you. That is John McClain down in Houston.
Do you have any Nick Cesario stories?
I don't. I don't know, Nick.
Come on, man.
But I know these guys for sure. Coming up next, I have something you will enjoy.
Do you?
I just saw this on Twitter, and I was like, I got to bring this up for Joe.
All right, good.
Power 4 school records versus ranked opponents in the college football playoff era.
Love it.
It will surprise you because there are only 10 have winning records.
Oh, wow. Okay.
and I'll make you guess who they are. We will discuss that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. L-E-T-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.